Like, honestly, this whole digital nomad situation just occurred out of me trying to find a place to live because I didn't like living in Costa Rica and the US would not accept me. Now I'm settled in Colombia. I love it here. I did not think like I would like it more than the US, but right now, if I had to choose between the US and Colombia, I'm like, I would pick Colombia. So it's crazy how the world works. So sometimes you gotta let go of what you think you need and want and just like let life decide for you. Cause I feel so much happier now than I think if I would have gone to the US. I even tried to join the military. Can you just imagine that? No. I saw that they have graphic design. So I was trying to get into the graphic design area, but I still have to do like the training and your girl not about to let someone scream at her. Or do push-ups.
Welcome to Wise and Wine, a play on the phrase rise and shine. Now look here, folks. I've had 5 jobs in the last 2 years, and that shit just ain't normal. Or is it? No, it's not. So I'm turning to diverse people who inspire me both professionally and personally with careers that didn't exactly start at point A and end at point B. We'll explore how their families, their cultures, and their communities impacted their career decisions, as well as the exact moment they decided to pursue their passions, even if that passion wasn't a direct path to a pension or 401k. Hopefully, I'll come away knowing how they became the badass, the confident, the strategic people that I admire. And if I don't come out of this project a little wiser, well, at least I'll enjoy the boozy wine ride. Welcome back to the Wise and Wine podcast. I am joining you after another hiatus between episodes from Peru. And while we've been here, we have climbed the Rainbow Mountain. So if you follow on Instagram, you might see some pictures from that where I managed to battle altitude sickness and take a picture with some alpacas with sunglasses on, but made it to the top of this very challenging hike. And this is preceding another very challenging hike because Scuba Steve and I are going to do a 4-day hike on the Incan Trail to Machu Picchu. So pray for me, but if there's more delay between episodes, understand that that's what's going on. In the meantime, I am bringing you an amazingly energetic, insightful, nonlinear career path guest that completely fulfills. I mean, she's kind of the reason why I created the podcast, not for her, but because of stories like her. And the title of this podcast, the title of this episode, Buckle In, This Is a Funny Story, could not be more appropriate. So Elky Ramirez is someone that Scuba Steve and I met in Colombia. And literally, it was our last day and we were looking for something to do. And typically when I go to a new country, I look for a WhatsApp group, specifically a WhatsApp group that's targeted towards Black expats, just so that I can, you know, talk to people and ask questions, build a community, all that good stuff. But we were so busy while we were in Medellin that I didn't get a chance to do that. But on our last night, we found a group, a WhatsApp group that Elky manages. And so met her the night before we left. We went, the reason why you want to travel. She's the exact person that you want to meet while you travel because she's energetic, she's resourceful, she's funny, she's smart, all of those things. This is the person that is that light that everybody gravitates towards. And so we kept in touch after Scoop Steve and I left Colombia. And because she is a remote graphic designer, I asked her to design the logo. So if you see our JNS Adventures logo, that is designed by the one and only Elky Ramirez. But as she and I kind of kept in touch and I learned a little bit more about her story, I was like, this needs to be caught on wax because your tale is one of resilience, one of positivity, and one of hustling. So she grew up in Costa Rica, and then her family lived in the United States, but because they were illegal immigrants, they had to go back to Costa Rica. And so she's kind of developed this, all of those things. She's developed the resilience, the positivity, the hustling, because of how she's grown up. And so all of those three things are a thread throughout her life, but also through her career, because she's done almost everything. She's worked in hospitality. She's been a teacher. She's been a graphic designer at Amazon. And now she's working remotely. And as she will tell you, she is an accidental digital nomad. But her story is fascinating. She's resourceful. She's entertaining. And she's somebody that you are going to learn a little something from. Without further ado, I present to you my guest, Elkie Ramirez.
Elkie, welcome to Wise and Wine. What are you drinking?
Water. But like Jesus, I will turn it into wine. No, I'm kidding.
We just left Argentina and I think we were there for 2 months, and I drank more wine in 2 months than I have in my entire life. And now I feel like a wine snob because I was like, oh, Malbec or nothing.
Oh no, now she got the good stuff. Now she acted different.
Exactly. All right. Well, let's learn about you. So you were born in Costa Rica and then you lived in North Carolina for 9 years and then you returned to Costa Rica. So how has your career path been influenced by your family as well as growing up with two very different cultures?
So I feel like extremely grateful, but also like angry. So I have like both sides, because on one side, I'm very grateful because living in the US allowed me to speak fluent English. It also allowed me to kind of open my mind to other opportunities that maybe I would have never thought about being from Latin America. Mm-hmm. So I think, for example, my first job ever was working customer service at Amazon, which I got that job because of my English, right? And then from there, I started working as a image retoucher, and then I became a graphic designer. And funny enough, I was telling my friend yesterday how when I was applying, I honestly wasn't even going to apply to be a graphic designer. And one of my friends was like, Elkie, if you do not apply for this job, I will kick you. And I was just like, okay, fine. And I literally did a late submission. And it's only because my boss was like good friends with me. He like allowed or helped me submit late to the job application. Mm-hmm. And out of all the people, I was one of the 10 people to get the job. Nice. And like, they were really, really happy with my interview and stuff. And I think it's because of the English. I feel like I was able to express myself better. Very grateful in that area. But then I'm very angry on the other area, because now I know what Americans make and their salaries and how much I make and how little it is compared to Americans. And it just makes me so angry. Yep. So like when companies offer me like what's actually a good Costa Rican salary, I feel highly disrespected. So through that area, it's kind of like, I know what is out there, so it makes me angry that I can't access it. But at the same time, thanks to knowing what's out there, I push to get or to do better, to do more or have more, you know? So a little bit of both, I guess. But I do feel like if I wouldn't have had my English, and if it wasn't like a native English, I think I probably wouldn't be doing, I honestly would not be doing as well as I'm doing right now.
Right. Okay. So do you recall being a kid, like what you wanted to be as a kid, and like how did you end up as a graphic designer?
Okay, buckle in, because this is a funny story. So when I was like 10 years old, I never really thought about like work or career or anything when I was younger. I think maybe at one point I said I wanted to be a veterinarian, but I think that's just because I like petting dogs. And I didn't realize like sometimes you have to put them down and like give them surgery. And like, that's not fun. That's not cute. So then I was like, okay, never mind. I don't want to do that anymore. So when I was like around 10, there was this website. Do you remember Club Penguin?
No. What's that?
No. Okay. So Club Penguin was like this little chat website where you had a little avatar penguin and you could like move it around and chat with other people and stuff like that. So that was like the kid version, right? Okay. So in my childhood, like that was a thing. But there was another website called wolfhome.com, in case I think it's still alive and doing well. And it was kind of like a similar concept, but it was more for teenagers and adults. So you still had a little avatar. It was a little wolf. You could go into like these chat rooms and chat with other people. And you could click your wolf and make him do like different poses. So you can make him like sit or stand or talk or like howl or whatever. But if you were like a a member where you paid, you could upload your own artwork. So you could have like a personalized woof. And so I was 10 years old. I'm Latina. My parents aren't going to give me no money to spend on the internet. So my thought process was like, okay, I'm going to learn how to draw. I'm going to sell my drawings of these woofs to buy other drawings of woofs so I can use them on this website. So that was my thought process.
I love it. Entrepreneur at 10. I love it.
And so within the website, there was a forum. So within the forum, they had like tutorials and other people that were artists, like really amazing digital artists. And so I just started like following the tutorials. I made some friends that were like also very supportive. Also, I was lying this whole time because I had to be 13 years old to use the website. I was 10. And so I like stole some girls' info on the internet and pretended to be her. And then once I did turn 13, I used like my actual pictures and then I pretended to be that girl's little sister. Oh, man, it's a whole thing. I was scheming, man. I was scheming when I was 10 years old. And the thing is that through that, I actually ended up learning how to use Photoshop. And I was using Photoshop to illustrate, which is the worst part is like, you're not really supposed to illustrate on Photoshop. You're supposed to use another program for that. But so here I was at 10 years old. And like, again, my parents are not going to pay for Photoshop. It's expensive. So now I'm learning how to download illegal softwares on my computer. I'm learning how to like download torrents and all that. I was a very curious kid. I was pretty smart. So like, I just learned how to do all this stuff that I should not have known how to do at 10 years old. But here I was. And thanks to that, I learned how to use Photoshop and I learned how to like get into like digital art and whatnot. And then I guess when I was about to go to college, I decided to study graphic design because I was like, well, I already know it, so why not? And I went to college and I did half of my career and I swear I did not learn a single thing. Like I did not learn anything that I didn't already know. So I was like, okay, this is boring. And at that point I started working as a graphic designer for Amazon and they were actually teaching me things. Like my coworkers were teaching me things that my university wasn't. I was like, I'm too far ahead like to be going to these beginner classes in university. So right. I ended up like dropping out and then I just stuck to Amazon and then I accidentally became a graphic designer.
And so what were you designing? What were you designing at Amazon?
Also, by the way, I never sold a picture of a drawing of a wolf
anyway. Oh, no. Wah, wah, wah. I thought that was going to be our triumph at the end of this. You're like, now I sell my wolf commissions for thousands of dollars a month.
No, I never managed to sell a single one. But hey, I got a career out of it. So hey, I think that's a win. For Amazon, I was designing campaigns. So when you go on Amazon, sometimes you get banners at like the top or on the sides, or if you use like a Kindle, there's like ads on there too. So that was my job, like designing all of those things. So basically companies like, let's say Disney, it was actually pretty cool because Disney will have a campaign. So what they do is they give you the assets. So they give you like the picture of the product, the colors of the backgrounds, some illustrations or whatever, and they give you the copy, the text that they want on there. And then what I had to do was I had to format it so that it fit different sizes. So a square or a rectangle, whether it's horizontal or vertical, but it had to be basically the same look for everything. Okay. So it's kind of just like, just rearranging things differently. And then there were some campaigns where you did have to get a little bit creative where they would kind of only just give you a picture of the product and the copy and that's it. And you had to pick like everything else. So it was pretty cool. It was pretty crazy. Fun fact, Amazon actually does not really make any money from selling products. They make all of their money from advertising. So they charge a lot of money for those ads. Okay. And so like a company like Disney will like, they are cashing out money because what they do is they make shopping on Amazon great. And that's why they're so like easy with like refunds and replacements. They don't care. And you're like, how are they surviving? Like they're losing all this money. And it's not that, it's because since that brings a lot of customers in, because you trust Amazon, right? You're like, right. Oh, if I don't get my package, I'm not pressed. Amazon's going to figure it out, right? Because that brings in all these customers. Then these other companies are obviously they want to do publicity on Amazon. So Amazon makes hella money with publicity. And that's basically where most of their income comes in, which I was like shook. I was like, wow, y'all are making all this money and you're paying me this? Ridiculous. Disrespectful.
So I feel like there's a woman I follow on TikTok. I guess she used to work at Apple, and I guess Apple came after her because she was saying all these secrets about Apple, I guess. Are you not worried that Amazon's gonna come after you?
If they can catch me? No, I'm kidding. I mean, I think this is like public knowledge. I mean, it doesn't affect them in any shape or like, I'm not saying anything negative because it is like a great company to shop at, you know, like I shop at Amazon. But I think, yeah, a lot of people think, oh, they're making money off the products. No, it's publicity.
Gotcha.
And it just goes to show, like, if you're smart about how you do like your business, you can make so much money.
So how did you transition from working at Amazon to owning, being a freelance, a remote graphic designer?
When I was working at Amazon, I'm not gonna lie, I did enjoy working at Amazon. It was a fun time, but I was struggling with the issue of commuting. So I was working 9 to 6 and I would have to wake up at 7 in the morning and I'd get home at like 8 p.m. So like my whole day was gone. And in Costa Rica, it gets dark really early and everything's closed early and it's not very safe to be walking around at night by yourself. Right. So even something like going to the gym closed at 9. So like if I got home at 8, I had like 1 hour to rush to the gym. But the thing is, when you're working a 9 to 5 or 9 to 6 or whatever, you get used to it. And as a human being, like we will find a way to survive, right? So it's when you're stuck in that environment and you only have that environment, you get used to it. But my thing was, I happened to have a situation where I got a scholarship to get certified with TEFL to teach English, right? But it was in a completely different city, 4 hours away, and it was a month-long process. So I got an LOA at Amazon, a leave of absence. So basically they gave me permission to not work for 1 month without losing my job. So I wasn't getting paid for that month, but after the month I could come back into work like normal. So I got an LOA and I moved to the beach to get certified for TEFL. And so it was kind of like, I wasn't sure what to do because there was an option to either stay in the city and do it there or go to the beach and do it there. But the one in the beach was offering me a scholarship because a program costs like $700. And the one in the city was not offering me a scholarship, but at least I wouldn't have to like move. So I was like, okay, do I want to pay for the course or do I want to pay for housing at the beach? Obviously the beach. So I moved out to the beach and it was crazy. Like I would wake up and I'd go make breakfast at like this little kitchen that was outdoors, like in the middle of the jungle. Then I'd go like lay down by the pool by myself, tan for a little bit. And then I'd go to classes and then go to the beach for lunch. And then when I'm done with classes, go downtown, like eternal vacation. It was so freaking nice. And I remember I would see people selling like cookies and bread at the beach. And I would just tell myself like, wait, if they can do it, why can't I? So then I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to work at Amazon anymore. And I remember that was in August. When I went back to work in September, I was so depressed, like walking into the office doing the same thing every day. I never got to see sunshine because literally the only sunshine I got was 5 minutes waiting for the shuttle. And then I was stuck in AC all day. And then by the time I was out, it was nighttime. And so my boss was like, what's up? And then I was like, I need to talk to you. And he's like, you're going to quit, right? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, no, I need you until like the end of the year, because end of year is like the most important time for marketing and publicity because of like Christmas, Black Friday, Thanksgiving, all that. So at that point, I was already like a senior designer. So he was like, I need you to stay. And I was like, okay. But he told me like, I couldn't tell anyone that I was going to quit. So I had to keep that like down low. Like only him and I knew, not even his boss could know. Because if his boss found out, then he had to fire me because I would be like a risk. So I was like, damn, okay. So I remember we'd go to like meetings and they'd be like, the team is growing. This is excellent, blah, blah, blah. And in my head, I'm just like, I'm getting the fuck out. I'm out of here. I'm like, I don't care about nothing. I'm gone. And then my goal was to move to the beach town and like live that life that I've been wanting to live. But turns out I had like the year before that I had applied for my US visa. And I hadn't been in the US since I was 12. At that point, I was like 22 years old. So I was like, I really want to go to the States. And so I was like, well, it doesn't make sense for me to rent a place at the beach and then be gone and be in the US. So I was like, no, you know what? I'll just go to the US. And then when I come back, I'll go live at the beach. I ended up taking like a gap year. And then that's kind of like where my whole digital nomad situation kind of started to occur. Because I took a gap year because I didn't really know what to do. I was living off of my savings. So thankfully, even though they were paying me like shit, apparently I'm really good at saving money because I survived like a year traveling and stuff, just off my savings. So I took that gap year. I did some volunteering in Europe, but now I came back. And then when I came back, thanks to like the TOEFL certification stuff, I was surviving by teaching English online with a platform called Cambly, which is like the only platform that allows me as a Costa Rican to work. Everything else is like US only or Canadian only, or you have to have like a college certificate. And I'm just like, damn. So I was surviving off of that. I was even painting like canvases. I was baking. I was trying to find a way to make money. And then I think that's eventually I got a job at a hotel at the beach town where I wanted to live. So the thing was, they let you live there and they gave you 3 meals a day. And then they also paid you a salary. So I was like, okay, perfect. And then I'm like, at nighttime, I'll teach English because the salary is shit. But I was like, at nighttime, I'll teach English. And then I'm like, I'm saving money because I'm not paying rent or food. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to save up so much money. Turns out my room did not have Wi-Fi. Oh, so no. Like, I was broke for real now. I was living paycheck to paycheck, barely. And the hotel was really bad at like paying the tour people. So the guy that did like horse tours, they were like, no, I'm no longer working with the hotel. And I was working as a receptionist, and some of the girls wanted to do a horseback riding tour. So the other tour guide within the hotel, the one that sells the tours, he contacted the person outside, but like he connected the girls with the tour guide directly instead of through the hotel, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And they invited me. They were like, oh, we want you to come. And I was like, okay, I have a day off and I don't know anyone and I have nothing better to do. I don't have Wi-Fi, so sure, let's go. So I went with them, but the second tour guide saw me and he thought that I was selling tours to these girls outside the hotel. Gotcha. So he went and told management that I was making money. And I was like, I've only been here 1 week. I don't know anyone to be selling no tours, no nothing.
Right.
But they didn't ask me any questions. They just like fired me. And like looking back, I don't know why I didn't defend myself. Like I don't remember defending myself or like explaining the situation or anything. I don't know if they just didn't give me the opportunity or what, but I was just like, okay. So I was living there and it was 4 hours away from where I live. So they're like, oh, there's a bus at midday. You can leave. And I'm like, I did not come all the way out here to just leave. Do you know how hard it was for me to get out here? And I was like, no. So then the other tour guide, the one that was my friend, let's say, he was like, well, you can stay with me while you find a place to stay or whatever. And I was just like, oh my God, thank you. I was like so grateful and happy. So I stayed that day with him. But that same day, like in the afternoon, I got my stuff there. And then I went in the afternoon to go look for like apartments to rent. And I found one. I found a super cute little apartment. And so I stayed the night at his place. And then the next day I moved into my apartment. The thing is that I had to pay like $500 rent for that apartment. And for the lack of money I had and the job I was doing, $500 in Costa Rica is a lot of money for rent.
Yeah.
So I was struggling, but I was like, you know what? It's okay. I have a month. I can keep teaching English online. Now I have Wi-Fi. I make enough money teaching English to pay the rent. Turns out there was no Wi-Fi. It wasn't working because it's a beach town and nothing works, right?
Oh, no.
So they didn't fix it for 3 weeks. So I had 1 week to make a month's worth rent.
Oh, no.
I was not sleeping. I was anxious. Oh. I was, it was bad. But we did it. We did it. We managed. And then everything was fine after that. And then tell me why. Here's the fucked up thing. Here's the fucked up thing. Tell me why. One day I'm like at one of the little bars they had there and one of the tour guide's friend comes up to me and he's drunk. And he tells me that this is a thing that the tour guide does. He gets girls fired and then he offers to house them in the attempt of sleeping with them.
Bro, oh my gosh, that's a lot of work for sex. You can just be a nice person. Try that.
Exactly. And like the worst part is like, I didn't even sleep with him. So you got me fired over nothing. And I'm just like, this is crazy. It is what it is. I did what I had to do. You know, I had to experience what I had to experience. And then COVID happened.
Oh
so now
gosh.
I'm living at a beach town and I can't even go to the beach because they shut it down. And I'm just like, okay. So then I went back to my mom's place. And then this is where the digital nomad thing happened. So I had been trying to go to the States for the longest time and I got shut down in every way possible. So then my oldest brother, he's like, well, there's this process open for you to become a Spanish citizenship through our like last names. And I was like, okay. And my whole time I was thinking, well, if I'm a US, if I'm a European citizen, then I can apply for a visa to go to the US that way. So the whole time I'm just thinking about going back to the US. Like, I'm like, oh, another way to go to the, I wasn't even thinking like, oh, I get to be an EU citizen. I'm like, no, I get to go to the US again. And so I applied for it. And then at one point I had to go in person to Spain to see a lawyer and sign some paperwork. And this was during COVID. So I wasn't vaccinated and I didn't have enough time to get vaccinated before I had to go, but my mom was. So I was able to take her with me and they were able to like give me an exception. Okay. So I was in Europe. And at that point, my brother lived in Portugal. So we stayed with him for like a month. And then I took my mom to Greece and we did like a volunteering there looking after cats for another month. And then we went back to Spain for a month. So we did a three month trip in Europe, me and my mom, which is like crazy. And then it was fun, but it was also like super duper stressful.
Yeah.
So now I have to leave the EU because I can only be there 3 months. So I'm thinking I was going to go to Turkey, but because everyone speaks really well about Turkey and it's like a great, it's cheaper, let's say, than some of the other countries. Because at this point, I don't think I had a job anymore. I don't even remember that phase of my life. I don't know how I was surviving. So, swear to God. I guess off of savings and maybe teaching English and just prayers, I guess. So I went to look for a room. So I'm like posting in these Facebook groups, asking for a room, and the men start harassing the hell out of me. Constant messages every day, every day, every day. And I got so scared because I was going to go by myself. So I was like, okay, Turkey's not happening. And so I thought about like, okay, where do I go? Where do I go? And I had always wanted to come to Colombia. Before COVID hit, I was planning on coming to Colombia. I had to cancel everything because everything got shut down. So I was like, okay, maybe this is the time to go. And so my mom was going to come with me, but I was like, no, baby, 3 months is enough.
We're good.
I'm going solo. So then I took a plane out here and then that's just what happened. I just came here and then I was working doing graphic design online for a company, a US company. But then they gave me this manager that I hated. It was this Russian lady. She was so mean and rude. So I ended up quitting. And then I think I was doing freelancing here and there. And because Colombia isn't that expensive for me, I was able to somewhat survive. And like, it wasn't great money, but I could afford to eat and sleep. So that's really all that mattered. And then my 6 months were up and I was like, uh-oh, where do I go? I'm broke. I'm unemployed and I'm broke. What do I do? So I had a friend that was going to host me in Mexico City. But at that moment, I was starting to date a guy. So we decided to meet in Playa del Carmen for my birthday because this was around August. And so he was going to like pay for housing for like that week. And then after that, I was going to go to Mexico City.
Okay.
And then while I was in PTC, I had to be there for like a week or two. So I paid for my hostel for like a week or two. And then he got us a place for like a week. And during those 2 weeks, I actually got a job, which is the job that I have now, which I'm going on to 3 years, I think. But yeah, so that it like honestly, this whole digital nomad situation just occurred out of me trying to find a place to live because I didn't like living in Costa Rica and the US would not accept me. So I literally accidentally became a digital nomad out of despair of like finding a place to call it home. And now I'm settled in Colombia. I love it here. I did not think like I would like it more than the US, but right now, if I had to choose between the US and Colombia, I'm like, I would pick Colombia. So it's crazy how the world works. So sometimes you got to let go of what you think you need and want and just like let life decide for you. Cause I feel so much happier now than I think if I would have gone to the US. I even tried to join the military. Can you just imagine that?
No, the outfits don't work for you. I'm so sorry.
No. Hey, I can rock some green. What?
Now, what branch of the service were you trying to join?
So I saw that they have graphic design.
Okay.
So I was trying to get into the graphic design area, but I still have to do like the training and your girl not about to let someone scream at her. Uh-uh. Or do push-ups. Fuck that.
So now you've got a job, but then you also freelance.
So funny enough, I work designing images for Amazon, but not for Amazon the company, but Amazon the website. So The company that I work at, they sell products on Amazon. So the listing images I design for them, as well as like something called the EBC, which is like down below. So and the previous job I had before that was also that. So, and I got this job because the girl that was at the previous job quit and came to this job, and then she recommended me. So I have her to thank for my jobs, basically.
Networking, all right.
But yeah, it's basically just creating. It's just creating, designing the images. Just so y'all know, most of the stuff you look at on Amazon is very heavily Photoshopped, and I'm the one Photoshopping it.
Right. So do you do your freelance stuff? Do you do it just because you enjoy, or is it, I'm not trying to get in your pocket, but like, is it something that you need?
No, you're fine. Yeah. Most of the times when I do freelance, it's because someone reaches out to me and asks me for something. And well, anytime someone offers me money, I mean, I'm going to say yes. So I'm always down for it, but I never like actively look for work. I'm really bad at working. Like, I wasn't built to work. I do it because I have to like eat and survive, but I really was not built to work. I'm built to just exist and have fun. So it's tough. It's tough. But I'm trying, you know, I'm surviving. And then now I'm trying to get into the area of like events and like organizing and hopefully making money off of events. I recently just did an event for like a club. So I'm trying to get more of a hip hop R&B scene out here in Medellin versus just like reggaeton. And right now there's a lot of Afrobeats, but I'm trying to like create a space where like every Saturday you have a place to go listen to hip hop, rap, R&B, dancehall, Afrobeats, whatever. And it's like a space that is safe. It's not expensive. And just like just good energy is what I'm trying to go for. Cause that's like what I want to do, or that's where I want to go on weekends. So I can't seem to find a place that I like out here. So I was like, you know what? I'll just do it myself. So that's where we're at now.
And that's actually how we met, because I, you know, as I travel, as a Black person traveling with a very white man, I try to find things where people look like me to connect to. And so when we're in Medellin, and unfortunately I found it on the day before we were leaving. And so that's when I found the group and the event that you had organized. I was so grateful for it. So how did you determine that, hey, it sounds like you did it because this is something you were looking for, but how did you determine that, hey, this is a niche that a lot of people are looking for, and I can create this community because I'm not the only one looking for this? Like, how did you develop that?
A woman was the one who invited me to that group, but it was a Black woman. And I remember it was called Melanated Women of PDC. And I was like, well, you know, like, am I allowed in that group? Like, I'm, you know, my skin is very fucking white. So I'm like, can I join? Like, I don't consider myself white, but I mean, I don't know if I'm melanated. So she was like, yeah, no problem. I'm like, well, you know, if she tells me yes, who am I to like tell her no, right? So I joined the group and everything was fine. And it was crazy because I enjoyed the group so much. Like, I felt understood. I felt seen. I felt like the women were like, they told you the truth to your face respectfully and with love. If I needed advice or something, like they weren't trying to baby me. They would tell me it straight up, but in such a kind and respectful and loving way where like they really want to see you like flourish. And I was like, wow, I have never like experienced this before. This is beautiful. And that's because the group was mainly composed of Black women. I was like, wow, this is like really freaking amazing. And so I remember one day I was like doing something with my eyelashes and I shared a picture of myself. And someone was like, I think there's people in this group that shouldn't be here. And I was like, wait. Because then, remember, a Black woman was the one who told me that I could join the group. So I thought it was perfectly fine. And I thought everyone knew that I was in the group. And like, I was just like, what's going on? So then I felt horrible because I'm not trying to intrude in any spaces that aren't designed for me. Like, that's embarrassing. And that's not at all what I was trying to do. But then I was also really sad because it was like the first space where I was like, wow, I feel seen and understood. Because I always felt like out of place because I'm Latina, but I also grew up in the States, right? So like to my Latino friends, sometimes they can't understand a lot of like my American things, or it might seem like I'm acting like I'm better or this and that, or there's just like things of privilege that I receive. But with my American friends, it's also a privilege to me. Like where it's like, I kept getting denied. They would say things like, oh, what if I email the president? And I'm just like, bro, that's not how it works. You can't just email Obama and now I'm in the States. Like, no. I was like, no. And they would just say things that would like piss me off because I'm like, you're so privileged. You're like completely unaware of the reality of the world. But then on the other side, they probably thought the same thing about me. They're like, oh, you're privileged. You don't understand. Blah, blah. So I was just like, ah, I don't know where I stand in this world. I don't know who I am. I don't feel understood.
Right.
And it wasn't until I joined that group because they have the privilege, you know, of being American and having those experiences, but there's also a lot of discrimination within the US. So they also understand that part of my life where it's like, I struggle with both of those things. Right. So it was like the first time I was like, oh, they understand my balance. Like there's a balance between privilege and also like discrimination. I was like, this is cool. So I was really sad because I'm like, no, don't kick me out of the group. But like, I finally found a place. But at the same time, I was like, well, I mean, I'm not going to fight. Like if this is your space, I don't want to invade it. You know, like I'll find something else. So then we had like a huge conversation about like what it meant to be melanated, what, how it was defined and this and that. And so some people were saying it was based off your skin, which technically your skin color, like it is like in the sense of like melanin is based off your skin color. Right. Mm-hmm. But then we kind of started talking about how it's also kind of your experience in life because there are Black women who are my skin tone or they're lighter skin, but they don't stop being Black women. They don't stop dealing with discrimination. So it became like this whole topic. So then we kind of decided that it was more about the experience that you live. The experiences that you guys go through or talk about going through being melanated, I can kind of understand. I don't fully understand the whole thing, right? Because I do have privilege to do my skin tone. But I do understand, like, in a more of a cultural sense, I was able to understand a lot of things. So I was like, I mean, I don't know what to tell you because I do feel like I have Latina cousins that are also the same skin tone as me, but they didn't go through the experience I went through culturally because they had papers or they had blue eyes or they looked more American or whatever versus me. So I was like, I guess I don't know because I don't feel like they understand me even though they're Latinas. But then it's just like a weird place to be in. Yeah. So eventually they were like, yeah, it's cool. You can stay. We appreciate you. We consider you part of the community. We love having you here. And so like I was all up in my feelings, but it's like one of the places where I felt at home. And it felt like we could have certain conversations where it actually felt intellectual and real versus just kind of like wiping certain things and pretending like they don't exist and not that they're not issues. Right. So it was really beautiful. I was so sad to leave. And then when I came back here, I joined groups, but it always just felt very white. Mm-hmm. Like it felt very privileged when we would talk about certain things like gentrification or certain struggles or problems that people, Colombians would go through. They would always silence everything. Like, oh no, we can't talk about that. No, this is getting conflicted, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, but this is important. Like something as small as like tipping culture, right? Mm-hmm. And like, I would try to explain to the foreigners, like tipping is not a thing here. It actually hurts us when you tip, blah, blah, blah. And then they would just shut those conversations down and like erase everything. Even though nobody was fighting, we were just having a discussion.
Right.
And so I got really frustrated. And also, specifically in Medellin, you have a lot of guys that come here for sex tourism. So I didn't want to deal with them. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to like make my own group. And I didn't expect much of it. I didn't, you know, think anything. I was just like, well, what I have to lose? So I was like, I really enjoyed the melanated group in Mexico. I was like, I wonder if I could do that here. Because I remember, oh, actually, one of the girls, I need to stop trusting these women. One of the girls in PDC told me about a group here in Colombia, but that one wasn't actual Black women's group. So I messaged the admin and I was like, I don't mean to like be disrespectful, but is this like a melanated, like also Latinas, or is it just like specifically Black women? And she's like, no, this is specifically Black women. And I was like,
cool.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not trying to do that. So I was like, okay, no problem. And then I asked her, would you be okay with me creating a group for melanated people? And then I kind of explained the whole thing. She's like, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So then I created it. She was like super sweet and she actually shared it in her own group.
Okay.
And then it started growing. So people started joining it. And but there were people in the group, but nobody was talking. There was no community. It was just people in a group, right? Random people that don't know each other. So then I was like, okay, how do I start making this more active? So then I decided one day to like organize a game night. And there's a restaurant here that had like board games and the TV. So I was like, do y'all just want to like meet there on a Thursday? And people were down for it. So we did that. And then we started having game nights like once a week. And then I decided to start doing like Tuesday dinners. So every Tuesday we would go to like a different restaurant. And then I started, the group just started growing word of mouth. I started getting to meet a lot of people, making friends. And then we started doing, there's this one girl who started this project called Park Hoppers. So you go to a different park every Friday and you just like chit chat, sit, some people smoke, some people eat. So it's really cool. So then the community just started growing and growing and growing. And now it's at 700 members pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah. And I just celebrated the 1 year anniversary. I think it was March 1st or something like that, which I didn't even know. Like someone said something like, oh, how long have you had the group? I'm like, oh, I don't know. And then I checked and I'm like, oh shoot, the anniversary is like 3 days. So I had this huge potluck and it was so much fun. And it's like, I was not expecting this. I did not plan for this. It just kind of happened, but I'm so happy. And then like through it, I was able to also meet you. And so it's just crazy how I've been able to like connect with people, meet people. And it's to me, it's been really, really beautiful because I feel like I finally have a community. You know, I finally feel like I found my place, people that understand me. So it's been really, really beautiful. But I was, yeah, I don't even know how it happened. It was all a happy mistake, like Bob Ross.
Well, first of all, that's not true because it takes a lot of energy and effort to A, be the admin of a group and to moderate the group and like invite, you know, you've got to approve people and put the events together. And like, I saw what you went through just through the one time where we were just doing, what was it? Go-kart. We were go-karting and then we went to bowling. Like, yeah, that was a lot of energy and that group was small. So when you think about expanding, the melanated group, are you wanting this to be your next career? Like, what do you, is this just something you do for fun to meet people? Or are you like, no, this could truly be my next career?
So originally my plan was, I thought I was going to keep traveling. So originally I was going to go to different cities and start building the group there and then kind of like create it where no matter like the bigger cities that most people travel to, I was like, when you can go to those big cities, you can connect with the same group, let's say. And then eventually I wanted to grow it to the point where we could even start having like hostels or houses that you can like rent out the rooms. So it's like, you can go to a different city, you have your community and you also have a place to stay. So I wanted to create like this huge network, but sadly given life circumstances and stuff, I felt like I was getting a little burnt out. And so I needed to like settle down a little bit because at that point I've been traveling. I haven't been home since like, or had a home, let's say, since 2018. I've just been living out of my suitcase since then. So I was like, okay, I need to like sit down and get my stuff together. I need to focus as well on like my personal health and just my personal growth. So I'm sticking to keeping the group just imagining for now. Hopefully in the future I could expand it. But I did decide that I kind of want to start getting into events. So, or like creating events for people. I do it for free right now for the group, but I was like, maybe I can, you know, cater to people outside the group and start charging for events. So that's how I ended up doing the hip hop event. And now I created like, let's say a brand for myself called like Elky Ramirez Experiences. So the goal is to like create events that I think would be fun or that I feel are lacking and just kind of like try to make some money off of it a little bit, but still make it like accessible and fun and available to everyone. So that's like my goal for everything I do. I like for it to be accessible because I know what it's like to not have access to certain things because I don't have the money for it or I don't have the conditions for it. I want it to be fun and maybe like a little bit different because I feel like we're always like sold all these events that are always the same thing over and over again. So I want to do something a little bit different and I wanted to make it more where people get to know each other versus just like me making money off people. But and the thing is like I've always felt bad about charging for my time, but it's been the same people that go to the events that are like, Elky, you should be getting paid for this. And I'm so, that's another thing like I'm so grateful for. Like they push me to do better and ask for more and this and that. So I'm like, okay, fine, I'll listen. And the first event was actually really great. And I'm just like, okay, thank you. Like I would not have been able to do it without the group, honestly. Like I feel so blessed to have them. It's literally a community where we support each other. So I think it's really freaking cool. I'm very happy and grateful for them. And that's why I do the things that I do for free, because that's my way of being like, thank you. You know what I'm saying? Like, thank you for being a part of this. Thank you for participating. Thank you for being positive and like happy versus like, you know, some groups just be toxic as hell. So yeah. Very grateful for everything.
So in terms of diversification of income, and I feel like that needs to be, or that seems to be the key to success for digital nomads, unless, you know, you're working for Amazon or some other big corporation. Yeah. But it seems for people who are kind of building their careers and their career is really being a digital nomad, that you've got to diversify your income. Has that been your experience as you've been traveling?
Yes. Yes. I actually remember I made a video on Instagram, or like I posted on my stories talking about that, because I told people, like, they asked me a lot, like, oh, how do you do it? And I explained to them, like, I'm not someone that has this big corporate job that gets paid a lot of money, and thanks to that I can just travel around. Like, no, I get paid a regular salary and I have to figure it all out on my own. So I tell them, my thing is, like, I've lost my job. And as someone from Costa Rica, it's a small country. We barely have job opportunities. And on top of that, opportunities that are remote and pay me well in graphic design, basically non-existent. Mm-hmm. So I've learned that, you know, when I quit Amazon, or when I lost my job at the hotel or whatever, I've learned, like, you can't put all your eggs in one basket. So that's when I learned, like, you have to have multiple skills. So when I first started getting TEFL certified, I did that thinking in the future of, like, okay, if for whatever reason I lose my job at Amazon, I can work teaching English and I have something to, like, back me up. And then I just started trying to find ways and thinking of ways to, like, get multiple sources of income. So another way I do it is I design templates for Canva. So I came across that by accident. I just saw it, I applied for it, and I got into the program. So basically, you design templates, you submit them to get approved. If they do, and people use them, for each download that people, you know, for each download, you get paid a certain amount. So it's like cents. But because there's so many users and there's so many downloads, right now I can make like $400 a month off of that. Okay. And it's residual income because I'm not really designing. Like, I haven't designed in the past 2 months or so. And I still pretty much get those $400 every month. So it's quite great. And I feel like if I really, like, focused on it and put in more effort, I could probably make a lot more money, to the point where I don't think I could quit my job, but I could at least get, like, pay off rent and food just off of that. Right. So another idea I've had is, like, taking pictures and uploading it to Shutterstock, or like videos, as well as content creation, things like these events that I'm doing. So I try to diversify myself a little bit. I think my biggest issue is, even though I'm getting scraps from everywhere, right? So I'm only getting little bits everywhere, here and there. So it is exhausting, because it's a lot of energy that you have to diversify as well. Mm-hmm. But if you can find a way to eventually get to a point where it's residual, then it's great. So for example, I might have to put in a lot of effort and take pictures right now and videos for Shutterstock. But once I have those there and people download them, that's just residual income that I'm getting every month. So let's say I'm getting the 400 from Canva. Let's say I get another 400 from Shutterstock. My rent is paid there, basically. Right. And my rent will continue to be paid there. Same thing with, like, YouTube. If I start making YouTube videos and then they just stay there and people constantly watch them, that's another form of residual income. And when you start getting those residual incomes, you start to have the ability to have more free time to do things that you are passionate about, and eventually make that a career, versus having to focus, like, on a sole business or whatever you studied in school or whatever. Right. So I definitely recommend, even if you're not a digital nomad, in today's day and age, you have to diversify your income, because just like all the people that worked at Facebook or Google, I'm pretty sure they did not expect to not have a job and not be able to find a job. Right. So you can't rely on companies nowadays. You have to find other ways to make money. And if that means acquiring new skills, you have to do it. Hopefully skills that you also enjoy doing. But nowadays, you got to learn as much as you can and find ways to make money, because you just never know in today's economy what's going to happen. So. Yeah. Sure. No matter not, get to it.
Facts.
But even, for example, like something like your podcast, that's a source of income that could happen residually. You know, it takes work. That's the annoying part. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort, but if you're working towards something, you know what I'm saying? Versus just like, and you're doing something you enjoy. So that's literally, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. So good for you.
Thank you. Right now, it's a labor. It's something that I love to do. And every time a new celebrity gets a podcast, I'm like, oh, well, this is just something I do because I like it. I will never make money off of this. It's just for fun.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've actually had two people reach out to me today about their career transitions and getting into new careers. And so mm-hmm. you have worked in a variety of of industries, everything from the hotel, the teaching, to graphic design. So what advice would you give to somebody who wants, or in the case of Facebook and Amazon, have to do a career change? Like, how did you do it? Like, what are some skills that you tapped into that made you be able to do a bunch of different things that you've been able to do?
So I feel like personally, I'm blessed in the sense that I'm a little bit of a jack of all trades. Like I get bored of doing one thing, so I'm very eager to learn different things or try new things. But it can also be a negative because I never exploit one singular thing. So maybe if I solely focused on graphic design, I could be making way more money. If I solely focused on teaching English, I could be, doing something. But I get bored easily, so I like to do a little bit of everything. But I will say, I think one of the most important things is to really analyze your personality, because people, a lot of times, they base their career changes on what makes the most money, right? But the thing is, you got to think about what comes easiest to you, because that's the real money. It's easy money, right? So like sometimes people are like, oh, I want to be a doctor because it pays really well, but it's a lot of work. So now you're burnt out and it's not worth the money. Versus if you're like really good at like math or whatever, and you decide to become an accountant, it's like easy for you. You can do it in your sleep. So it's basically free money because you enjoy doing it anyways. So that's my case with, like, for example, like doing the events. That's why I want to get into that now. Because I'm like, oh, I actually like enjoy doing this. It comes easy to me. Like it's zero effort, zero work. Versus with graphic design, I have to like really sit down and kind of think and put in more effort, because it doesn't necessarily come natural to me. It's just a skill I happen to learn because I was a silly little 10-year-old with hopes and dreams. But I will say, I think the first thing is really analyze your personality, analyze who you are, what comes easily to you, and look for ways to make money based off that skill set that you already have naturally. And then second, look for things that are maybe in demand right now. The market is ever growing, things that we didn't need before, we need now. So for example, something silly as, you remember when we used to have MySpace and we would like download backgrounds to decorate our MySpace? That was something that people could make money off of. You could design those backgrounds and sell them for MySpace, right? So before MySpace, that wasn't a thing. It didn't exist, right? So now that we're getting into social media and whatnot, there's a lot of things, a lot of jobs that you can come up with yourself. You can create demand for something that doesn't even exist anymore. So sometimes you have to get, I think the most important question is ask yourself, what do I need? Because if you need it, someone else probably needs it. And you're like, okay, I need this. How do I solve this issue? How do I solve this problem? And then find a solution for it, create it, and then that's going to go well. Because that's what happened to me with the WhatsApp group. That's what happened to me with like the hip hop event that I want to do. I'm just like, well, I had this need. There's no solution. Let me create the solution. And then it goes really well because it's like, oh, other people are also looking for this. And since you know it, you're your own market audience. So you know how to cater to yourself. So that helps a lot. So I think don't focus on the money, focus on what comes like easiest to you. And then if there's a thing that comes easy to you that makes a lot of money, then yeah, focus on that. But if you only chase money, you're just gonna end up like miserable and angry and upset and burnt out. So I think that's the biggest mistake most people make. They're just like chasing money versus chasing what comes easy. Just live an easy life. Don't complicate yourself.
Make it hard.
People don't need it. Life is already hard. Don't make it worse.
So I know that you described yourself as an accidental digital nomad, but when you think about the future of the digital nomad culture, now that you've been in it for a little bit, what do you see as the future of it, especially for melanated women?
I feel like with things like AI, sadly, I feel like the government's going to ruin it all for us. But in like a perfect world, AI would eventually get to the point of doing the jobs that we don't want to do, right? So something like being a waiter, which is a very difficult job, but someone has to do it, or just like being a cook or whatever. Not cook like a chef, but like working at like a McDonald's, like doing assembly, right? Stuff that is basic, but people do entry level, but it's not like a fun job to do, and nobody really wants to do it. We just have to. So in a perfect world, we would be at a place where we have robots doing these jobs that we need but don't like. And that would allow us the freedom to think about the things that we are passionate about and that we enjoy. and being able to just focus on those things. So I feel like being a digital nomad is slightly like that, where it's like your work is not your main thing. Work is just a means to an end. So I think moving forward, we're going to continue having people that are going to get tired of this 9-to-5 thing. They're going to break out of it. They're going to find a job that gives them a little bit of freedom. We might have less work days, less work hours. Things might become facilitated. So for example, with graphic design, now that I have AI, I can ask it to create images, do this, do that. And it saves me a lot of time in my job. And it also helps, like, I could use AI to sell things as well. I could create images and sell that and make money off of that. So I think for the future, hopefully, we're going to have tools that will facilitate things for us. Even things like ChatGPT, people have used it to like write books and sell that and make money off of that. So I think we're slowly falling into an era where tools are going to help us, I guess, if we're smart with it. They will help us and make ways of making money easier. And it'll also allow us to be more creative, because it kind of takes the responsibility of having to like think about details, right? So for example, like with ChatGPT, if you want to write a book, you're worried about like the grammar, typing it out. Maybe you have ideas, but you're not good at writing, but you have a story to tell and you want to tell the story. So you can use ChatGPT to help you with the grammar and the proofreading and all that. And you can just tell the story, and you can use talents that you don't have and get it from there, and then focus on the strengths that you do have. So I think things like that will open doors for jobs that aren't necessarily conventional. And that will allow people certain freedoms that will also hopefully motivate them to travel or go somewhere different. Because I feel like traveling has now become a bit more normalized, mm-hmm. where more people want to travel, more people want to at least go to a different country or see something, or travel to get work done, or I don't know, to buy this and that. And before, travel was more of a luxury, and now it's starting to become more of just like the norm. So I think slowly, if we're smart with it, I think that's where it might be going, to the point where, because more and more I start seeing digital nomads that don't have 9-to-5s, that don't have regular jobs, or just like selling programs or writing books or creating events or stuff like that. So I don't know. That's what I've been feeling. I could be completely wrong.
No, I think you're right. I heard you say on another podcast that it's bold to assume that you have a future. So how does that guide your decisions, both professionally and personally?
So I've gone through stuff. Well, in that podcast, I was explaining how I lost my dad, right? And it was just like, it happened really, really quickly. So, and then I saw a thing on the internet where it was also saying something like, you're bold to assume that you have tomorrow guaranteed. And that really struck with me. And I was like, wow, that's so true. Like, we live our days thinking like we have next year, we have next month, we have tomorrow. And that's not true. And a lot of times we leave things for, oh, I'll do it later, I'll do it later, I'll do it later. And we end up not having that later sometimes. So right now, and I feel like this is very a big one, and how the accomplishments that I have is that I've been focusing on the present more than just the future. So I still worry about the future, because obviously I still have to pay my rent, I still have to buy food, I still have to survive. I'm not planning on being homeless anytime soon, hopefully. It's guided me to make decisions that make me happier. Mm-hmm. So I feel absolutely miserable and I hate it and I'm depressed, which is what happened to me with one of the jobs. It's scary, but I'm willing to just be like, I quit. I'll figure it out. Yeah. I'll figure it out. And I think traveling has also just made me realize, like, there's so many people out here who are just hustling. They're trying to figure it out. And if they can do it, why can't I? I've learned that it's so important to just have a balance of being responsible, but also having fun and doing things that, you know, are fun to you. So it goes back to the, like, don't focus on the money, focus on like the experience and like having fun and making your life easier. But I also tell people like, don't make stupid choices. Like, that's not what I'm trying to promote here either. I think there has to be like a balance, because I feel like we're taught to follow this like linear path, and we're taught to not like go elsewhere or take another sudden path, because then that leads to failure. But what I try to tell people is there's always a way back. Like when I quit Amazon, I was scared because it's a really good company. It's a really good job. You know, like society makes you feel like, wow, you work at Amazon, like you're crushing it. You're doing great, blah, blah, blah. Right. But I was unhappy. But then because of that like pressure from the outside, I was like, should I not quit? Should I not do this? Shouldn't? But then I thought to myself, like, I'm doing a good job. I still have the experience. If I quit, why wouldn't I be able to just come back? Maybe just like they can replace you, you can replace them. You can find another job. Like it's not that special. Like, and I know it's hard to get a job, and I don't want to like disrespect people who might be who don't have a job right now and are struggling, because I've been there, done that. I get it. But there's where there's a will, there's a way. There's you're bound to find something. And if you don't find something, it might be because you're not meant to, and you might have to open your mind and your life to other opportunities that you are maybe like shedding out because they don't follow the plan that we have in life, which is like what happened to me for so many years, where I kept wanting to go to the States. Everything in my life I did to go to the States, and then I was at a point where I didn't get to have that and I was miserable. And then once I let go of that, my whole life just started to kind of like resolve itself. And I still have issues here and there, but like I feel content. Like it's gone to a point where I'm like happy. I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of my journey. And I don't feel that scared anymore. Like I still get scared, because if I lose my job, like I still have to pay rent and stuff, but I'm like, I'll find a way. I've met people, I've learned things. If other people are doing it, why can't I?
That's good advice. So my last question, since our internet is mad at us and wants us to stop, my last question for you is that when I listen to your story, I think the first word that comes to my mind is resilience. And the second word is positivity. And then as you were talking, the third word was like hustle. So where do you think these come from for you? Is this from your family? Is this something that it sounds like you've had it since you were 10? So where do you think this comes from for you?
I think having been an illegal immigrant, because I have no choice but like figure it out. So for example, like things like legal documents or paperwork and this and that, my parents couldn't understand it. So I had to find a way to like resolve or solve the issues, find a way to translate it. I felt like because my parents were from Latin America, but I grew up different type of world, let's see, lifestyle, different mentality, there were a lot of areas where they were never going to understand me. It kind of got to a point where I just have to solve it. I've had to figure it out. So through that, you're forced into resilience, and it just becomes like part of your personality. With positivity, funny enough, I feel like I'm a realistic person, but I think one of the reasons that, or one of the things that has helped me with positivity is I believe in karma. So I believe that like what you do, you receive. And with traveling, I've had a lot of people help me. Like I've had literal angels put in my path and do things for me that I was like, wow. And I've always wanted to do that, like give that back, right? So every time I can help someone or do something for someone, I do it because I've seen it done for me. And I think that also helps with the positivity, because it's like, I know it's out there. And I think when you focus on doing good, you see good, and you like surround yourself by good. Because I've been traveling by myself, I have to open myself up to other people. You know, like I have no choice. It's that or be completely alone. And then when you do that, you realize like, oh, there's actually really nice people in the world. If you focus on the good things, I feel like every time I like think about something good and positive, I tend to receive good and positive. And then that just kind of made me want to do more of that and see more of that. And I think that's what helps. And I think when I see people who are struggling a lot and they're very negative and stuff like that, it breaks my heart, because I know why they're like that. And it's because they haven't had the opportunity to have something positive happen to them. And it's hard to be positive when good things don't happen to you. I would tell people like look for one good thing that happened that day and just write it down, or tell your mom or your dad or your partner, whoever, just share like one good thing that happened to you. The best thing that happened to you that day. When you start looking for that best thing, you start to notice the little things. So when I was working at Amazon, I started doing this because every single day felt like the same thing. I felt like I was doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. And I started getting depressed. So I decided to start writing down like things that I was doing throughout the day that was like fun or that like caught my attention. And then I had a journal where I was like going, and every day was different. There was something happening every single day. And there was exciting and fun things. And then when I started focusing on that, I started receiving more of that. And I feel like that's also where like the positivity comes. When you chase it, you're going to receive it in abundance. And then the hustling thing, I think, like I said, like at the beginning, because I became so aware of what other people have, I'm like, well, I want to have that too. And I'm like, I have the same skills. I have the same abilities. I want that too for myself. So I think when you become aware of certain things, you could take it both ways, right? You can get angry and be like, I deserve that too. I deserve the same rights, blah, 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 and just get angry and stay there. Or you can be like, oh, I'm gonna fight for having the same things. If other people can have it, I can have it too. Versus like, if other people have it, I need to have it, or I deserve to have it too. And like, nobody deserves anything. You get what you get. That's just the way of life. But if you go at it in a more of like motivating way, I think you'll find that you just want to hustle. And when you get what you want, because you worked so hard for it, it's exciting.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. I'm so upset that I only had the one evening, the few hours before we left Medellin to spend with you. But maybe one of these days while we're in Costa Rica, maybe you'll meet us up in Costa Rica, or maybe I'll just take another trip to Medellin. I don't know, but we will see each other again in life. Where can my listeners find Elke Romero's Designs? Where can they find all the things that are you?
I have a website, elkeromeros.com. But I'm gonna be honest, I don't use it very much, which is another project I have to work on this year, which is supposed to be another residual income. But I am very active on Instagram. I have a few Instagram pages that I also don't post on except for my personal page. But if you guys need graphic design or anything like that, or help with traveling or just questions or motivation, definitely reach out to me on Instagram. Just make sure that when you send me a message request, just let me know off the bat what you need help with, because otherwise I'm going to think you're hitting on me and I'm going to ignore you. So just hit me with the questions immediately and I will 100% answer. Instagram is also Elke Romero's. I'm Elke Romero's everywhere. With a name like that, you know, you got to take advantage of the usernames.
That's true. All right. Thank you so much. I enjoyed speaking with you and I hope you have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Wise and Wine podcast. Don't forget, episodes come out every Tuesday wherever you find podcasts. Remember to rate, subscribe, and review. You can also find information about my guests on my Instagram page at Wise and Wine Podcast, or send me an email if you have any questions, comments, or concerns at wiseandwine@gmail.com. So I hope that our time today helps you pass the time on your commute, pass the time on the treadmill, or pass the time while you're working on those TPS reports. And hopefully you left this day a little wiser. Have a great day. Bye-bye.